And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning, as always, is brought to you by the good folks over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Well, the government shutdown does continue as we head into day seven. Current clock has us at six full days, 7 hours, 2 minutes, and 30 seconds as we come on the air this Tuesday morning, as a couple of votes taking place yesterday in the United States Senate. Those votes failed. The Democrats continuing to dig in. Republicans, really nothing for them to move on at all. It's a clean continuing resolution that has been proposed by Republicans. Hakeem Jeffries, I saw yesterday, challenged House Speaker Mike Johnson to a debate on the floor. I mean, it's just, it's kind of getting ridiculous at this point. Now, let me be clear. I don't particularly care if the government continues to be shut down. This will be resolved by October the 15th, by next Wednesday. That's when paychecks are supposed to go out to government employees, and there's no chance that Democrats will allow this to go on up until the 15th. So it will be resolved. More conversations, more votes taking place a little bit later on today. We'll see as House Speaker Mike Johnson, President Trump, John Thune, and others continue to try and work across the aisle to get a couple of more Democrats in the United States Senate to vote in favor of this clean continuing resolution. President Trump last night and yesterday telling Democrats to open the government. His direct quote was, "Open the government tonight," saying, quote, "Democrats have shut down the United States government right in the midst of one of the most successful economies, including a record stock market that our country has ever had. This has sadly affected so many programs, services, and other elements of society that Americans rely on, and it should have not happened. I'm happy to work with Democrats on their failed health care policies or anything else, but first they must allow our government to reopen. In fact, they should open the government tonight." So that is pretty significant. When the government says, the president says, "I'm willing to work with you on," you know, the big debate here is trying to relitigate some of the health care subsidies in the One Big Beautiful Bill from earlier this year that passed back on July the 4th. The president says, "I'm happy to work with you on your healthcare policies or anything else, but you're going to have to pass this clean continuing resolution, and then we'll debate the issue going into that." So we'll see if this has any movement, if this forces a couple of Democrats, if this forces Schumer to say, okay, we've got assurances from the president that we can vote for this CR and get things opened back up, or if they continue. I mean, at this point, I don't know what more they want. They're in the minority. They don't have any leverage. They don't have any bargaining chips. They don't have any power in Washington, D.C. The president says he's willing to negotiate with them. That's the best deal they're going to get. So if this is not enough to move them forward, then I guess the government will just stay shut down forever. I mean, if President Trump saying, quote, "I am happy to work with Democrats on their failed health care policies or anything else," if that is not enough for Democrats to reopen the government, then nothing is. There's nothing else for Trump, for the Republicans to give the Democrats. Again, they're the minority party. They are not in charge. They do not hold the levers. They do not hold any sort of power in government currently. So we'll keep an eye on that. Senate Democrats again blocked the Republican efforts to reopen the government last night. We'll see as we head into the day today. The House is still not in session, and there's no reason for the House to be there. The House did their work back in mid-September, so it is now exclusively on Democrats in the United States Senate. So we'll wait and see if anything moves on that today. We'll keep a close eye on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. Isn't it really nice when you have an opinion, when you have an idea, you say something, you feel strongly about something, and then you hear somebody else say the exact same thing and back up everything that you were saying? It feels great. and I'm bloviating a little bit this morning. You've heard me say now for over well over a year, whether it was at the end of the radio show here in Wilmington or since the beginning of the Nick Craig Show podcast, that the Democrat Party is in a civil war. And I have explicitly called it a civil war now for the better part of a year, even in through the early summer of last year when I was still on the radio. This was a continuing threat that the Democrat Party is in a civil war. So to my surprise, I saw that mayoral candidate, former governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, was a guest on The View, the ladies of The View, yesterday. And so I went back and caught some of that show because it's interesting to watch Cuomo, who you would describe as an older school Democrat. He is, of course, fighting with Zohran Mamdani, who is also running for mayor of New York. Mamdani, a radical progressive socialist. And so it's interesting when Cuomo, who was a very prominent and successful governor in the state of New York from a Democrat standpoint, to see him go up against somebody like Mamdani. So to my surprise, I'm watching The View. I'm watching The View yesterday afternoon, and I come across this clip. Here is a former governor, now mayoral candidate, Andrew Cuomo, on The View.
What's really happening is there's a civil war within the Democratic Party going on. And the Democratic Party is looking for its identity. And there are two factions. You have the Democratic Socialists, and then you have the Democrats, right? I'm a Democrat. My father was a Democrat. I worked for Bill Clinton. He is a Democratic Socialist. He is not a Democrat, right? He called President Obama evil and a liar. He did not support Kamala Harris against Trump because she wasn't progressive enough. They have a very extreme view that they're pursuing, which is different than the Democratic Party.
So there's Cuomo saying exactly what myself and many others have been saying now for a very long time. And this is the first time that I have heard a prominent Democrat, which Andrew Cuomo absolutely would be considered, a prominent Democrat say this publicly. And we've talked about it in a variety of different instances, whether it's fundraising issues that the Democrat Party is dealing with. For a period of time, you had David Hogg in as the vice chair of the DNC, stating publicly that he was looking forward to primarying current incumbent sitting Democrats. He, of course, did not last in that position very long. He's now running his own grift group where he's primarying incumbent Democrats. So it's been obvious that this is going on looking from the outside. It's been obvious that this party is struggling mightily right now from the outside for a significant period of time. To me, it is substantial when somebody like Cuomo actually says it publicly and says it on The View of all places. Right, as you are well aware, The View is not a news program, even though it's under the news division of ABC News. It's not a news program. You're not getting both sides of any issue on The View. It is, and there's nothing wrong with being an opinion show. This show is largely opinion. Yes, I do bring various sides and try and bring you as much fact as possible. I'm not upset that The View is an opinion show at all. I think it is a poor decision for ABC News to have it under their division. It should be an entertainment show, not a news show. But they continue to call it a news program, of which it is not. So Cuomo goes on there. I can't play any more of the show because ABC News will copyright strike the channel on YouTube because, you know, God forbid you air content from them. Fox and CNN, everybody else allows you to do that. ABC, for whatever reason, will copyright strike the show. So can't play any more of it, but it was it was interesting to watch Cuomo discuss, break down, and have this discussion with the ladies of The View over what he sees as the, and he even said the word, identity crisis that the Democrat Party is facing right now. And it is, in fact, an identity crisis. It is, in fact, a civil war. You've got individuals like Cuomo, like Schumer, that understand how the game is played. They have been in politics long enough. They have been around politics long enough to know what does work and what doesn't work. Now, just because they've been involved and just because they have some level of institutional knowledge doesn't mean that they're right. But they've got enough political experience, in my estimation, they've got a pretty good barometer as to what is going on, what works, what doesn't work. You then look at the flip side of what's going on in the Democrat Party. You look at the Zohran Mamdanis. You look at the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes or the Rashida Tlaibs or that moron down in Texas, Jasmine Crockett. These individuals have not been involved long enough to have any of that institutional knowledge. And why is that important? And I think it's important for both sides of the political aisle. But honing in specifically on the Democrats this morning, somebody like Cuomo, Schumer, and other prominent Democrats that have been involved for some period of time, they understand that the way in which AOC, Mamdani, Jasmine Crockett, and the rest, the way in which those folks want to pull the party so far to the left, and they obviously do, it's not a secret. I mean, Zohran Mamdani is the, and Cuomo even admitted earlier in this the interview that the best thing for Donald Trump is Mamdani to win in New York City. The best possible thing for the Trump administration and for the Republicans is Mamdani to win. And I tend to agree with former Governor Cuomo. If you have a literal self-described socialist running New York City, that gives Donald Trump and the Republicans an incredible amount of leverage going into the midterm elections. And by the way, the mayoral election in New York is happening next month, right? So this is something that is going to happen well before the midterms. And if Mamdani is successful, which it appears, at least from polling, that he will be, he is going to be a complete and total punching bag for Trump and the Republicans. He is going to put the Democrats in a horrendous position for the midterm elections. Because Democrats will, of course, on the national stage, run away from all of these radical socialist policies. And all Republicans have to do is say, well, here is a Democrat candidate, now the Democrat mayor of New York, who is in fact in favor of these things, and tie everything that Democrats, including people like Roy Cooper, tie him to what is going on in New York City. And it's not like Mamdani is going to be some fringe character. He's going to be the mayor of New York City, right? That's a very important position in the United States of America. That is a very important political position across the country. So Cuomo understands this. He's not a moron. He's not a dummy. He gets it, that Mamdani will be a punching bag for the right and will be the greatest tool in their tool chest for having a successful midterm election. And so he and others understand that this move by Mamdani and AOC and others to push the party so far to the left will completely disincentivize the moderate Democrats that still exist from voting for Democrats, because the policies that they're in favor of are insane and are not supported even by moderate Democrats. And it will push the party to the brink. It will push the party to a point in which it is going to be very hard for them to win national elections. It is going to be very hard for them to message that they are not the party of these radical, wishless, progressive ideas, when you will have the mayor of New York City yelling and championing these things with a megaphone from the Big Apple. So there is, in fact, a civil war. There is, in fact, a major power struggle that is ongoing right now. And it didn't just start. It began a couple of years ago when AOC, Rashida Tlaib, and the squad first got into Congress. You saw their early political power struggle at the time with Nancy Pelosi, who was the House Speaker. You saw the back and forth debate. You saw the tug of war that was going on. Pelosi was successful. She was able to quell and push, not push them out, but quell the squad, kind of push them to the back burner and not let them take over the party, not allow them to become the face and the voice of the Democrat Party. And from a purely political standpoint, that was a very smart and successful operation for somebody like Nancy Pelosi and other what I'll call establishment Democrats. A very smart move. You don't want AOC, Jasmine Crockett, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar being the voices of the Democrat Party. These individuals do not resonate with the vast majority of the American people. Why? Because their ideas are terrible. They're on the losing side of almost every single 80-20 issue. You can't have them being the figure. You can't have them being the face of your party. It is, from a political standpoint, a complete and utter disaster. So they were successful in kind of holding off the squad in Congress. Props to Pelosi and Schumer and others for that. They were successful in kind of holding them off there. But now they've got a runaway train in New York City. They've got a complete and total runaway train. And so looking at the latest polling this morning from, this is over at the New York Times, you can see the polling here for the mayoral race in New York City. These polls are a couple of them just a few weeks old before Eric Adams dropped out. It doesn't even look like it's a close contest. I mean, the most recent Fox News poll, September 18th through the 22nd, gives Mamdani an 18-point advantage over Zohran Mamdani. Gives Zohran Mamdani an 18-point advantage over Andrew Cuomo. I mean, it's not even close. It's not even in the ballpark of close. And this is pretty consistent. I mean, you can see all of these polls. Mamdani, plus 18, 20, 15, 21, 22, 15, 21, 14, 19, 12, 16. I mean, his lowest going back to August is plus 12 over Cuomo. Now, with Eric Adams officially dropping out in the past, week or so, you would imagine that some of those votes will go to Cuomo. And they probably will. But Eric Adams wasn't polling high enough. He's only at 7, 8, 9%. He's not polling high enough that even if every single Eric Adams voter goes to Andrew Cuomo, he is still losing to Mamdani by over 10 points. So unless something insane happens, unless all of this polling is just dead wrong, which, I mean, we've seen in the past, you know, of course, circa the 2016 presidential election. But unless all of this polling is just completely off base, Zohran Mamdani, a self-described socialist, will become the next mayor of New York City. And that will happen within the next month. So it's going to happen. Cuomo's trying. He's doing his damnedest. He's, you know, pushing up a little bit in the numbers. I just don't think there's enough time, and I don't think he's going to have the opportunity to do it. It might end up being closer than plus 10 or plus 18, but I don't see a path for Cuomo. Obviously, Eric Adams saw there wasn't a path, and as great as Curtis Sliwa is, who is the Republican candidate, there's just not enough voters. There's not enough people in New York City that agree with somebody like Curtis or the Republicans to get him elected. He's a great candidate. He's done a really good job in this campaign. There's just not enough. The voting block in New York City just currently does not make it possible for a Republican to win. So you're going to have Zohran Mamdani as the governor, the mayor of New York City. That's what's going to happen. And that is great news for the GOP. That is great news for the Republicans, and it's great news for Donald Trump. It is bad news for people like Roy Cooper, who are going to have to defend Mamdani, who are going to have to defend the Democrat elected mayor of New York City and all of the crazy nonsense that is going to come out of the Big Apple. Andrew Cuomo understands that. He can read the tea leaves and he understands what's going on. And so he is you know, screaming from the rooftops, I guess, if you'll call it, over in over at the View yesterday. But it's a day late and a dollar short, unfortunately, for Cuomo. There's really not a whole lot that he can do. He doesn't really have a whole lot of time to get anything done. The election is literally next month, almost an exact, actually a month from now, as we look at Election Day, November 4th. So literally less than a month from now. So that is where things stand. That's what we are looking at this morning. Interesting to see that commentary from former governor mayoral candidate Andrew Cuomo. And if you are somebody that has felt similar to me, that this is a major problem for the Democrat Party, it's not just Republicans looking in from the outside saying it. You've got now prominent Democrats like Andrew Cuomo saying the same thing as well. So we'll keep an eye on that race. But again, while it's going to suck for New York City, while the policies are disastrous and is going to cause what is the I would argue the most important American city in New York City to fall into a serious place of probably disrepair, it is phenomenal news for Republicans in the midterm. So we'll watch that election as it rolls around next month. We'll keep you up to date with all the details right here on the Nick Craig Show. In some other news this morning, just, you know, not even necessarily Democrat Civil War stuff, but just Democrats completely missing the messages and messaging on this. Stephen Miller, who is the White House Chief of Staff, was on with CNN yesterday as the outrage continues over the federal government threatening to send in the National Guard in places like Chicago and Portland, Oregon, where local law enforcement has decided that they're no longer going to respond to back up and help federal officials protect themselves. This is a pretty remarkable clip when you watch this back and forth. Take a listen to this.
Is it the case that, as Pritzker frames it, you are profiling brown people, that this immigration crackdown is designed to go after people of color?
That is it's such a, oh, what a dumb question. The illegal aliens who are here are taking jobs away from blacks. They're taking jobs away from whites. They're taking jobs away from Latinos. They're taking their health benefits away. They're taking their school slots away. And of course, in many cases, they're committing heinous crimes. We cannot have a system of law in this country that privileges illegal aliens over American citizens. And that's what they're doing. You know it, and I know it.
So that's not exactly a no, Stephen. Can you just unequivocally state that the immigration policy...
I said it's a dumb question. Okay.
Well, I appreciate that.
No, and it's a dumb question.
So no, this policy is not designed to...
I thought when I said it was a dumb question, it meant no.
Well, I just want to be clear and precise. I appreciate you trying to qualify my questions, but nevertheless, I think it's a fair one that a lot of people have. So,
full answer is no, that is a lie, and it's a dumb question.
Really, a lot of people are asking that question? I mean, this is the kind of media that you're getting from CNN. This is a lot of people are asking you that question. Stephen Miller handles it perfectly. No, it's a dumb question. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got everything to do with illegally being in the United States of America, regardless of your race. Again, look at the issue of illegal immigration. What was one of the issues that drove President Donald Trump to success in the November election last year? One of the largest issues was, in fact, illegal immigration. Hardworking American citizens, regardless of their party affiliation, saw the disaster that was the Biden administration's immigration policy. They watched the vice president and Kamala Harris, the alleged border czar, do absolutely nothing during her time. And they said, this is insane. And as Stephen Miller points out, you've got illegal immigrants taking jobs of Americans, taking slots in school, committing heinous violent acts of crime. It's absurd. But this is the line. This is the narrative. This is the agenda. It's now racist to enforce immigration law. That's not a new thing. We've been hearing that from the Democrats since the back during the Biden administration and during the first Trump administration. It is racist to enforce immigration law. It is racist to enforce laws that have and continue to be on the books about coming into the United States. This is another 80-20 issue that the Democrats continue to propagate, and it's just so incredibly stupid. I mean, what more example do you need that your stances on immigration don't work than getting your asses handed to you in November of last year? What more do you need to see? An overwhelming victory for Donald Trump, not even close. Winning 7 of 7 swing states. Winning the popular vote. The first time a Republican has done that in 20 years. And that's not enough to back off of this messaging? And it continued. Here's another clip of CNN asking again, we're just asking the questions that everybody else is asking us. We're being asked this all the time. Okay, what's going on now?
If a Democratic president someday calls the National Guard to a red state over what they see as open rebellion, but is what amounts to a demonstration that gets rowdy. I mean, is that not a fear?
They're posting pictures of their kids because it's a demonstration, and they have a sniper on top of a building firing a high caliber rifle at a nice facility because it's a demonstration, and they are engaging in vehicle ramming
attacks. But the National Guard isn't being sent to Texas. The National Guard isn't being sent to Dallas where that sniper was.
Because the Dallas Police Department and the governor of Texas, well, you walked right into that one, have responded to every call for assistance and help. They gave a stand down order in Chicago, and they gave a stand down order in Portland. Do you realize that there's 11,000 federal law enforcement officers in Oregon? That's larger than the size of the FBI. Local and state police are resourced to deal with this kind of riotous assembly, but they have refused. They've been given a stand-down order. So
they've arrested some 70 people since June. They've been arresting folks on the ground. They've been arresting folks on the ground. They refute what you're saying outright.
We literally have the 911 audio of the stand-down order in Chicago, and we have documented inside of DHS every single unresponded to 911 call over the recent weeks and months.
The CNN host absolutely did walk right into that one. Well, why? You're not sending the National Guard to Texas. Don't need to. Dallas police, state law enforcement, the equivalent to the state highway patrol in Texas, they are responding to calls of help from Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They are working alongside their federal partners, who are also sworn law enforcement members, to make sure that a scene is secure and safe. There's no reason to send the National Guard to Texas. There's no reason to do that. They're working with federal officials. In Chicago and in Portland, Oregon, they are not. They are sitting, in the case of Portland, Oregon, across the street on their bicycles, watching grown men get into fistfights. Not a meme, not a joke. We watched the video last week. I think it was on Friday's show, Thursday or Friday, of two grown men getting into a full-out fistfight brawl in the middle of the street, one guy getting knocked literally unconscious. Where is Portland police? Nowhere to be seen. It's just watching the situation unfold. Or, as we heard from the head of ICE in Portland, not responding to calls. Either delayed responses or no responses at all. In Chicago, 911, not 191, but scanner traffic being released over the weekend plays out a situation in which somebody, it's not clear who the individual is, but somebody of authority jumps into the scanner traffic and says, stage a couple of blocks away and wait for further direction. Meanwhile, you've got federal law enforcement agents that are saying, we are being rammed, our cars are being rammed by protesters, and we are being boxed in. And Chicago police's response is, set up a couple of blocks away. So you've got local officials, local authorities who have given up their responsibility for public safety. And President Donald Trump is saying, okay, fine, to hell with you then. I'm going to send in the National Guard. And so what's the result? J.B. Pritzker and the mayor of Chicago and Brandon Johnson are now suing the Trump administration over attempting to send in the National Guard. If those guys had spent any significant amount of time just allowing their local law enforcement to do their job, they wouldn't have to worry about suing the Trump administration. But because They have so much vitriolic hatred for Donald Trump and Republicans. They have decided that they are going to allow their cities, in the case of Pritzker, his state, they are going to allow the places that they're responsible for to turn into hellish landscapes, all in an attempt to own the Republicans? In an attempt to resist la resistance, President Donald Trump? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You're allowing your communities to completely fall apart. You are allowing your communities to turn into freakish hellscapes in an attempt to own Trump. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. And they're continuing with it. And so this theoretical situation brought up by CNN, well, if there was a Democrat in office, and would you be okay with them sending the National Guard to red states? Oh, absolutely, I would be. If you had red state governors that were telling their local or state law enforcement to back down, to not work with federal officials to carry out their job, I would absolutely be in favor of a Democrat president calling in the National Guard to a red state. But see, I don't have to worry about that happening because it won't. You won't find Republican governors or Republican mayors or Republican police chiefs telling their officers to stand down while chaos is existing on their streets. You won't find that. So it's a hypothetical brought up by CNN that will never materialize in public because there's no circumstance where that will exist. So it's a stupid theoretical question. And even Stephen Miller's response is spot on. If that's the case, then yes. If that situation unfolded, yes, absolutely. And I tend to agree with him as well. So, ongoing civil war in the Democrat Party. They have no freaking idea what's going on. Zohran Mamdani is going to be the next mayor of New York City, which is going to be great for us on the right. CNN is still somehow clinging to how illegal immigration is a popular political stance for those on the left. Can't wrap my head around that at all. Have no clue what data, what information they're looking at to justify that this is some sort of winning political issue, but seemingly they are. Props to this administration for going on alternative, going on the opposite news networks. I mean, did you ever see this under the Biden administration? You know, you want to talk about transparency and accountability. Democrats love using these words. Did you ever see the White House chief of staff on CNN or MSNBC frequently? No, of course not. That administration would never go on a place like Fox News. Never. They would never go on Newsmax or OAN. Never. They wouldn't give it light. Stephen Miller, the director of OMB, you've seen the Treasury Secretary, all of these guys and gals, Kristi Noem, they're all over the place. They're continuing to push out the agenda, continuing to push out the message, continuing to push out the narrative. It's what a presidential administration should do. We, of course, didn't see that over the last 4 years. But this is what you'd want an administration to do. So CNN continues to make a fool of themselves, and Democrats continue to miss the mark on all of their messaging. So we'll keep an eye on all of those details as well. Here's an interesting photo for you. I posted this on my X account last night. If you're not following me over on X, I'd encourage you to do so. You can follow me over there at Nicholas M. Craig. This was the view last night during the public comment period during the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners meeting. An individual in a full face mask walking up to the podium to speak, which there's been some debate on my X account over whether you're allowed to address a county commission like this with a face covering. That's kind of been interesting. And so this is a resident of New Hanover County, and this is what we're up against. This is what we're dealing with, and these are the comments from this speaker last night at the meeting.
Hello, my name is Robin, and I just wanted to reaffirm the value of community goods. This includes buses, this includes libraries, and it also includes forests and clean air. I think that Sledge Forest is part of our community good, and we need it in order to continue to exist. 16,000 trips on that road is not the only change that will happen. We will also need schools, we will also need grocery stores, and all of this will result in the devastation of Sledge Forest, each of which of these old growth trees, they can only happen over successions, hundreds of years of generations of trees building on one another in order to build an old growth forest. Each one of them is as irreplaceable as each one of us.
Wait, what? So, trees are just as replaceable as each and every one of us? I'm all for protecting trees. I'm all for protecting tree canopies and historic trees. But you are out of your freaking mind if you are going to try and tell me that protecting a tree is pretty much just the same thing as protecting a human life. They are one and the same. Is this the result of telling people that plants are living organisms as well? This is the end result? Trees are also living organisms, and they're just as important as human life. I get it. I also think trees are important. They are an important part of our ecosystem. They are an important part of our society. They do provide a lot of use in what they do. But I'm going to have to disagree with the fact that a tree is just as important as human life. So I'm going to have to step away from that. I don't inherently agree with that statement. More from Robin. Don't know if it's a guy or a girl. I don't want to misgender somebody. Great comment coming in on our Rumble chat. WTF, what the F is he wearing? I have no idea. And by the way, I'll note, your comment is highly offensive. Do not assume the gender of this individual. Robin looks like a dude. Robin, I guess, could be a male's name. Back to the clip, sorry.
Of generations of trees building on one another in order to build an old growth forest. Each one of them is as irreplaceable as each one of us. Please consider all of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that's what's going on in our New Hanover County Commission meetings. Robin in full face covering. I don't know if it's a religious thing. I don't know if it's an Antifa thing. It's not immediately clear what's going on, but some interesting commentary. Trees are just as important as human life. If you cut down a tree, you might as well just go and kill somebody. I mean, it's essentially the same thing. So that's my big takeaway from the New Hanover County Commission meeting last night. So a little bit of a shorter show today and tomorrow. I have the opportunity and have the ability, I'm very thankful for, to fill in on WBT radio again today and tomorrow at least. So I'll be in 10 to noon for those listening live, 10 a.m. To lunchtime noon on WBT radio in Charlotte, Tuesday and Wednesday, today and tomorrow from 10 to 2. You can stream that at their website, WBT.com, the smart speaker, all of the various radio apps, or for those listening in Charlotte, 11:10 a.m., 99.3 FM. I'll be sitting in for Vince Coakley today and tomorrow. So shorter shows today so I can get to some prep on that and get ready for those shows. By the way, coming up on the show later today, the 2-year mark since Hamas's attack on Israel. Today is October the 7th. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Trump is doing everything he can to try and broker a peace deal. He's becoming ever more frustrated with Bibi Netanyahu in his seemingly unwillingness to move forward with a peace deal to agree to some sort of ceasefire with Hamas. So we'll be talking about that. Plus, media, new Gallup poll shows that media trust is at an absolute all-time low. We'll get into that, plus your phone calls and text messages as well. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on today. 10 to noon, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Before we get out of here this morning, I want to let you know that this show really is truly only possible thanks to our great folks that support us financially over at patreon.com/Nick Craig and the great folks over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. And I do want to let you know that when legal challenges arise, put your trust in Melissa Gott and the team over at the Law Group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're navigating a real estate transaction, maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're not some big national law firm. They're located right in our backyard, members of our community, and they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit their great website at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for joining us on a shorter Tuesday edition of the program. We'll be back tomorrow morning live, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. And again, don't forget to check me out 10 to noon Tuesday and Wednesday on the Vince Coakley radio program on WBT Radio in Charlotte. That's going to do it. We'll chat with you tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.